Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, there he sat, Abram, the happy pagan, soon to be known as Abraham, numbering his herds, grazing along the shore of the river Euphrates. He would have no doubt been happy to live out the rest of his days there in Ur of the Chaldees. He was rich and had everything he needed in life. What more could a man want, right? And then the God-bothering began. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, for reasons known only to himself, started making promises. Promises of all things. Not signs, not mighty deeds of power. Promises. Weird promises. To a man whose name means father of many, but who was in reality childless and quite elderly. Was there not a better candidate? Furthermore, were there not more to give than promises? A promise is quite precarious, you know. And so the laws of logic, morality, and nature begin to howl as an old immoral pagan becomes God's choice. Clearly, God is an outlaw. Indeed, despite the expected, it seems, God chose to do the unexpected. He promised Abraham a great land, a great nation, but most importantly, a great Savior. The Savior of the whole world, in fact. To top it off, this promised Savior would be the flesh and blood. He would be the flesh and blood descendant of Abraham, and he would save both Abraham and the world from not believing that God really is almighty and can do anything he chooses except lie. The promised Savior would save Abraham and the world from not trusting that God can do anything he wants to do to the world and to people. Even something as audacious as giving an illogical, immoral, and unlawful promise to the undeserving, whether they like it or not, accept it or not, even want it or not, it matters not. And as we heard the apostle in the second reading for today, Abraham had no choice but to conclude, "You're God, I'm not, it is as you say." Fast forward a couple of thousand years, and there a man named Matthew sat in his toll booth, betraying his fellow Jews by working for the Romans now occupying the land. Not only was he a traitor, he was a thief. Tax collectors in those days were notorious for transgressing the seventh commandment forbidding stealing. Taxes were assessed based on perceived ability to pay, and any excess collected above what Rome required was pocketed by the tax collectors. Don't like it? Well, take it up with the Roman soldier guarding the tax booth. And it was to a criminal such as this that the Savior promised to Abraham, the Savior promised to save the whole world, strolled up and said to Matthew, "Follow me." Was there not a better candidate to be a disciple? Was there not a more moral and upstanding individual? Yes. But Jesus, for reasons known only to himself, chose Matthew. And Matthew had no choice but to conclude, "You're God, I'm not, it is as you say." Still, where are we going must have been in Matthew's mind, right? Well, how about a dinner? A dinner attended not by good, righteous, moral people, but tax collectors and sinners instead. And boy, did the law begin to howl at this offense. "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" asked the guys who thought God couldn't be an outlaw, because God was bound to the laws of logic, the law of nature, and the law of morality. In truth, these guys were the ones bound. Bound in their unbelief that God actually is almighty and able to do anything he wants to do except lie. "For I have come to call not the righteous but sinners," Jesus said in response to their question. Jesus was saying, there are only two kinds of people, you know, sinners who know it and sinners who don't. Now, figure out which one you are. And right when Jesus was saying these things, an object lesson showed up. A leader of the synagogue approached Jesus and said, "My daughter has just died. But come lay your hand on her and she will live. And can you hear the law begin to howl again? Especially when Jesus gets up and follows the guy." The man's request was at least a bit odd, right? Natural law says dead people are dead. Plus, it is unlawful to be touching the dead bodies. That's not kosher, and that's what the man was asking Jesus to do. And on his way to get in all kinds of trouble according to the law, wouldn't you know it, more of the unexpected, more of the outlaw God, more of God doing exactly what he wants to do happens when another object lesson, a hemorrhaging woman, sneaks up on Jesus. Can you hear the law begin to howl yet another time? It is weird enough she was seeking healing by touching Jesus' cloak, but we must not miss the real scandal here. This woman trampled all over the law of Moses. She was unclean because of her blood issues and was therefore an outcast. She ought not to have even been around people, much less touching someone, especially a rabbi. According to the law, she should have been stoned to death for such an egregious sin. But God can do anything he wants to do, except lie. He can even stop and save an unclean, outcast lawbreaker like this woman as he's on his way to unlawfully lay his hand on a dead body. And once Jesus arrived at the home of the grieving father, the law laughed at Jesus, literally. But you've heard by now that God can do anything he wants to do except lie. And death has no choice but to give way to life when God says so. And not surprisingly, the dead girl got up when Jesus told her to. Fast forward 2,000 more years, and here you sit, and the Savior of Abraham, the Savior of Matthew, the Savior of that dinner full of tax collectors and sinners, the Savior of the hemorrhaging woman, the Savior of that man and his daughter, the Savior of the world, has come your way with a promise. He's still being an outlaw because he has no choice. There are only two types of sinners, remember? We're all he's got to work with. Who you are and what you've done and left undone is not hidden from him. Or from others, for that matter. Nevertheless, for reasons known only to him, he's chosen to be merciful to you. And so he says, follow me. Follow me to the font where I've claimed you as my own forever. Follow me to the altar where my body and blood is given and shed for your forgiveness. Follow me to the pulpit where through the mouth of one akin to that speaking jackass belonging to Balaam, he says, peace be with you, sinner. You are forgiven unconditionally for Christ's sake. I desire to be merciful to you apart from the law, says the Savior. And so it is, because God can do whatever he chooses to do, except lie. Now you've heard, and now you know what this means. The God who can do anything has chosen you. And so we can only conclude, you're God, I'm not. It is as you say. Amen.